Would you open to Genesis chapter 23? Genesis chapter 23, first book in the Bible. If you don't have your Bible, it will be on the screens. Genesis chapter 23. Actually changed a little bit of what I want to share with you today. There's a lot in this chapter, but I'm going to share primarily with you from two verses today, because I really think it's something we need to talk about as people, as human beings. So here's what I'd like to do. What I'm going to ask you to do, since it's only two verses, would you stand for the reading of the Word of God? Sarah lived to be 127 years old. She died at Kiriath Arba, that is Hebron, in the land of Canaan. And Abraham went to mourn for Sarah, to weep over her. May God add the blessing to his word. You may be seated. The rest of the chapter talks about how Abraham, after he has mourned and grieved, negotiates a burial plot for his wife. And it's interesting in the customs of the time. In the Mideast, which is still true, by the way, in a lot of the Mideast today, also in countries like Italy and in many countries in South America, when you negotiate with somebody, you don't talk to them directly. Use a third party. Okay? And the rest of the chapter tells how that interaction goes. And Abraham enlists one of the leaders at the gate of the city. And he kind of acts as the intermediary between the property owner and Abraham, and they eventually come to an agreement. And if you've ever been over in that area, there's no such – it's the only thing I can think of is like dealing with a car dealer, you know. Nothing's ever as it seems. And, you know, you go back and forth like a million times before you come to an agreement. That's the way bargaining is over in the Middle East. So Abraham, at the end of the chapter, secures a burial site, not only for him, but for his wife. Actually, then he gets married again. We're going to talk about that next week. But for Isaac, for Jacob, for Joseph, for all the siblings that come down the road. The interesting thing to note was that this burial site that Abraham purchased ended up, after many years, being full, right? Because a lot of people were born. The burial site of our Savior is empty. And there's one of the big differences that gives us hope. And so what I want to talk to you today about is this issue of grief and mourning and suffering when we go through loss. Now, I want to put a question out to you, and I'll ask you to kind of reply. Don't just shout it out. Raise your hand, all right, because I want people to hear. How many different kinds of loss are there in our lives? How many? Well, let me put it to you this way. What are some of the losses we experience in life? Grief, but what kind of loss? Loss of a loved one, okay? Loss of your parents. So loss of family, loss of loved ones. You know, of course, nobody wants to think of it, but the loss of a child, you know. Those are real losses. Are there any other kind of losses?
Our soldiers?
Yeah, there's kind of a national sense of loss when we see our soldiers, our men and women, dying on the fields and all, right? These are all things that cause grief, Jackie. Loss of income, okay? Those of you who have been through retirement know that retirement is kind of a shock because it's a loss, right? Circumstance. Give me an example. You're right on. Okay. Yeah, those losses that come under life isn't fair. All right. And we know life isn't fair. You know, as long as there's sin in the world, we know life isn't fair. That's the way it's going to be. But under those losses, too, you can be betrayed by a friend. Right? Sometimes you get betrayed by church people. True? I mean, I'm trying to cover some of these. There was a hand up. Go ahead, Lydia. Loss of your identity. And that can happen when our identity is not right in the first place. Right? That's a major loss. Go ahead. Loss of health. Loss of health. Disease. You know, things that happen. Go ahead.
Loss of memory.
Loss of memory. Loss. What'd you say?
Memory.
Oh, no, I'm thinking. loss of memory. You know, I laugh at it, but I can't remember anything anymore, to tell you the truth. How about getting older? Right? I mean, just getting older. How many of us look the same that now as we did 20 years ago? God bless you if you do. But I assure everybody here there's going to come a point where gravity wins. All right? So, the loss of our youth, the loss of, and I bring that up to say this, that sometimes we don't even know how to age gracefully anymore. You know, we try, and that doesn't mean you shouldn't try to look good, but we've forgotten to what it is to age gracefully. I think if Joan Rivers has any more facelifts, her lips are going to be on top of her forehead. But these are signs. Let me give you some other losses that you may not think of. I knew a man who hated cats. I mean, he hated them to the point where if he saw one crossing the road, he'd veer the car, you know, to try. But he loved dogs, right? So if you came up to this man and you've had a cat for a long time, say, my cat passed away, I'm really hurting, he might just say, good. Yeah? However, I'm using it as an illustration because every loss is a loss. No matter how big, no matter how small, if it's a loss to Rob, you're laughing too much on this. I don't know.
Okay. And I feed 5 cats that are wild.
And Ronnie feeds 5 cats.
All 5.
Okay.
Every day.
Okay. And even something as a pet, it could be a loss. Now, losses come in many styles, many, many ways. Loss is a part of life. I wish I could tell you it wasn't, but it is. You've been at a job for 20 years, they tell you don't need you anymore, that's a loss, okay? If you've, for whatever reason, have gone through a divorce, that's a loss. We joke about this. However, I wanted to share something with you. Sometimes things happen and there needs to be a parting of the ways. However, it still hurts. It still hurts. No matter how better off you think you're going to be, it still hurts to some extent. So loss is something that our culture has tried to say it's just an interruption in the normal things of life. I want to suggest to you that the Bible teaches that loss is a part of life, and it is, when we trust God with our losses, that He is going to use it to expand our souls if we handle it His way. If we handle it His way. Let me give you some ideas of how not to handle it before I go into Abraham here. If somebody sustains a loss, please don't go up to them and say, it's all right. you know, God works out all things for the good of those who love him. That's a true statement, but a bad timing. Because people are hurting. I've seen this, unfortunately, too many times. Don't go up to somebody and just say, pull up your bootstraps and let's go. Okay? These are the wrong ways to handle loss. In fact, the Bible says we need to handle it this way. If somebody is crying, sit down and cry with them. Don't say a word. Sometimes that's the best way to handle loss. So we have to be careful. And let's be honest, when somebody goes through a loss, a lot of us are at a loss what to say. Isn't that true? You know, we say, what can I possibly say? I want to suggest the best thing you can do is say nothing. To say nothing. Sit with people. I'll get into some details over that, but I want to go back to verse 1 and 2. Sarah lived to be 127 years old. Now, that may sound old to you, and it was old, but people lived a little longer back then. And so she and Abraham have been married for many, many years, and she passed away. The Lord took her. She died. And it says, Abraham went to, what's the word?
Mourn
for Sarah and to weep over my dead. Israel has not been formed officially at this point. This was still in the, you know, the early stages of the development of Israel. They did not have the law yet governing the burial of the dead. But this mourning period, it was probably about 3 weeks. Let me tell you one of the trends that has been developing over the last 15 years. I've done too many funerals, officiated and all, and some of those are really difficult to do. However, more and more calls are coming in to funeral home directors saying, we don't want any viewing, we don't want anything, you know, just the cremation and nothing. And I grieve over that. Only for this reason, that we try to suppress the natural inclination to mourn that God has put in our hearts. Mourning has to take place somehow. I know people mourn differently. I know cultures mourn differently. But if you do a study of history, every culture has has some ways they mourn. Doesn't mean we have to do it exactly the same, but what it does mean that when we experience loss, we need to pay attention to it. Part of paying attention to it is to acknowledge that the loss hurts. That makes sense? Acknowledge that the loss hurts. If it didn't hurt, it really wouldn't be a loss. I'll go back to the crazy example, right? We had a cat that lived for many years. And, when I found out that he had passed away, from all things, it seemed like he had a heart attack or something like that. That was a loss. That cat was part of the family for like 18 years. And, it was like, okay, it hurt. But our tendency is to shove it out or shove it away and get ourselves lost in other things. We need to pay attention. Even to the small things, we really need to grieve appropriately. I always marvel at the scriptures, the honesty of the scriptures. When Jesus, in fact, Joe, you can put it up. Put up John 11, okay? Joe, you'll put it up here for a moment. I have that in there, right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, John 11. This is the passage you well know when his friend Lazarus dies, correct? Go down to verse, I think it's 32, John. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, She fell at his feet and said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would have not died. Okay? There is a woman by the name of Kubla Ross who developed very smartly, by the way, the five stages of grief. And a lot of you know those stages. If you don't have them, I actually have them up here. Those are stages that everybody experiences, not necessarily in the same order, but everybody experiences them in grief. I don't want to go through all five of those, but I want to give you some framework in which to grieve. Go ahead, Joe. Go to the next verse. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. There was a sense of mourning, not only for individually, but corporately, that we see happening here. People were weeping. One of the things I could never figure out, I was raised Catholic, and sometimes when I used to go to funerals at a Catholic church, I would notice sometimes the same women there. Did you ever notice that? The same women would go, and they would just go to funerals. And I began to think, why in the world would these women want to be here? They probably don't know who the person is. And it finally dawned on me that these women were probably more emotionally in touch with who they were simply because they allowed themselves to join in the mourning, to join in the grief. And, you know, for a lot of us who are older, we remember when viewings used to be 4 to 5 days. Yeah, remember all of that? Is that too long? I don't know. But I can tell you nothing is worse. And trying to suppress the grief ends up being detrimental to us, not only spiritually and emotionally, but it can be detrimental spiritually. Keep on going, Jeff. Jesus says, where have you laid him? They said, come and see, Lord. So they bring him to the place. Look at verse 35. Jesus wept. Jesus wept. I have some other instances. Joey doesn't have these. He doesn't need to. But if I can find them, let me give them to you. When Jacob ended up dying, Genesis 50, we didn't get there yet. Joseph, his son, wept. Do you remember how many days the Israelites wept when Moses died? 30. 30 days. That's in Deuteronomy 34 if you want to check me out. When David lost his best friend, says he wept. 2 Samuel 18. Jeremiah wept at the destruction of Jerusalem. Jesus wept when Lazarus died. Paul wept when he left the Ephesians for the last time. There was one other time where Jesus wept, and he mourned and he grieved. Well, two other times. The one was when he looked over Jerusalem, and he said, I would that you would all come under my wing. I'm going to be honest with you. If it were me, I might have said to the people, you had your chance, you blew it. But Jesus grieved that the people didn't come. And then, of course, the grief that he felt in the garden. Three times he said, Lord, would you remove this cup from me? And his grief was so deep that the scripture says he was grieved unto death. And he was sweating droplets of blood in his grief, which is something that could happen, by the way. And he grieved. Cy referred to the Psalms before. The Psalms, over half the Psalms are laments. You know what laments are? Laments are a song of grief. That's what they are. Over half the Psalms, and David wrote most of them, over half the Psalms were laments over loss. Whether it was the loss of a loved one, whether it was the loss of power, whether David even wept when Saul died, the king who was trying to kill him, David grieved. And I'm trying to say that God gives us tears and tear ducts for a reason. And when we enter into the grief process over whatever loss it was, whether somebody close to us passes away, whether we lose a job, whether a pet dies, whatever it is, we need to enter into that grief process. But we don't stay there, and I'm going to get into that in a second. And I want to clarify something before I go on. I think we all recognize that there are some losses that go deeper than others, right? For instance, if I walk out of here today and I have two flat tires, for me that's a loss, right? But I'm not going to get too upset over that, other than when I have to take out my wallet and pay for new tires. But it's not as deep a loss as me losing somebody I love. The reason why I make this comparison is because it can take weeks, it can take months, and in some cases it can take years for God to bring us through the healing process. And if we try to rush it or escape from it, we're doing ourselves more harm than good. So, what do we do? Some of the information that I'm going to give you now comes from some of my research that I did in the doctorate program. Dr. Peter Scazzaro and Dr. Lewis Smeeds, who did some really good stuff in this area. One of the things that Scazzaro says, and I really think he's on target here, is when we go through a loss, pay attention to how we feel. Pay attention. And be honest. Own those feelings. Come before God with those feelings. If we need to cry, we cry appropriately. I'm not saying we go out on Route 9 and wail or anything like that. And in fact, if you look at some of the grief in the Bible, much of it is done privately. But there needs to be a time of mourning, needs to be a time of weeping, and we grieve, we recognize, and we pay attention to how we're feeling. Part of paying attention to how we're feeling is in some losses, I'm going to be brutally frank here, in some losses we feel that God has left us or forgotten about us. I'm not saying he has, but that's the way we feel sometimes, correct? You know, Lord, it's almost like Mary. Lord, Jesus, if you were here, my brother would still be alive. Part of the grieving process sometimes is denial and blame. And we look for others to blame. And it's a natural part of the process. We need to recognize that. We need to understand it. And we need to say, okay, this is part of what I'm going through. Here's the tough part. The tough part is simply this. In that, what Dr. Scazzaro terms as the in-between time, you're grieving the loss, you're in a bit of confusion about what God's role is in this. Is he doing anything here? Am I on my own? When you ask all those questions, here's the thing that he suggests. It's okay to raise those questions. It's okay to wrestle with these questions. But you always have to come back to the truth that even though we don't see it right now, even though we don't sense it right now, that God is still working. And God is working. He hasn't forgotten yet. And sometimes we need to be reminded of that by the word. Sometimes when you come to a church service like this, sometimes by a trusted fellow believer to tell you God hasn't forgotten you, but not in a plastic way, not to say, hey, God's going to work all of this out. No, it would be fair to say, I don't know how this is all going to work out. I don't know even what's going to happen, but I know God hasn't forgotten you. There's a song that you like. Brooklyn Tabernacle gave me permission to bring it back to you, one of the songs, and that is God is Working. Remember that song? God is working. He's working even now. And the premise of the song says, although you don't see just how, God is working. We need to pay attention to how we're feeling. We need to enter into that. We need to grieve. We need to mourn the loss, whatever the loss is. We need to recognize that in-between time where we kind of wrestle with God and ask those questions and know that God is still working. But then Dr. Scazzaro and Lewis Mead says this, that if we trust God in our losses, even though we don't understand how this is all going to turn out, as we trust God and walk by faith under the power of the Holy Spirit, He's going to turn that loss into something that can glorify Him. In that time period comes the acceptance. And there was a statement made by one of them. I don't know which one made it, but it made a lot of sense to me. Loss is something you really never get over. There are some losses that are hard to just say, make like it never happened. It happened. But we know that God is working when we could understand that God in some way used that loss in our life to bring glory to Him and to help others. I told you about the breathing issues that Tommy's having with the water in the lungs and all. Some of you have been there. You know what you could do? You could encourage him along the way. Too many of you have been through the loss of a spouse. And God can use you to come alongside of others. Because here's the reality of it. I don't really know what it's like to lose a spouse. I don't know what it's like to lose a child. Some of you do. And I think as tragic as that is, part of what God has done in your lives is to come alongside others to say, I understand. I understand. I know in some of the losses of my life and some of the things I've experienced, some of the things I value most, some of the people I valued most are people who went through the same thing, sat with me and said nothing. And I knew they understood. And did I know how it was going to turn out? No, I had no idea. Did I think that God got the script wrong? Yeah. Yeah, I thought God got the script wrong in some of those instances. But I had to come to a point where I needed to trust Him to say, I don't see the beginning from the end. He does. And Lord, as you bring me through this, if I can help someone else in similar situations, I'll give you the glory. Pay attention during times of loss to how you're feeling. For however long the period of time that follows in that confusing state as to what's God doing and what's going on, I don't understand. As best as we can through the power of the Holy Spirit, we start to trust that God is working. Even though we don't sense it, we start to trust that God is working. And then as finally as acceptance comes and God starts to bring the healing, now we're ready to say, okay, Lord, help me minister to others. We live in a culture that wants instant solutions. I'll get people calling me up. Actually,
people who don't even come here sometimes, they'll call me up, they're going through some deep waters, and they'll say, give me a quick solution. They don't put it quite in that many words, but they'll say, give me a quick solution. And I say, I can't. I can't give you a quick solution. First of all, I don't know you. Second of all, I don't know what your spiritual relationship is with the Lord. And third of all, I can tell you this, that if you're looking for instant results, I can't promise you that. What I can promise you is that as we yield to God and we yield to Him in the circumstance and we hear from His Word and we yield to the Spirit and walk in the Spirit's power, and in that confusing time we do the next right thing, I can tell you that healing's going to start. I can't tell you when healing's coming. I can't tell you when the acceptance is coming. That's going to differ for everybody. But there's no quick solutions in this. This is a message that I really want our young people to grasp onto. Because our young people are searching. Our young people are so disillusioned, not only by our political system, not only by their own culture, but they're disillusioned even by the church. And I could understand why. And they're going to experience loss. Think back to your high school days. How many of you can remember that far? Right? Okay, good. Think back to your high school days. Suzanne, that was only last year, right? Yeah. It's not nice to lie in church. You know, think about some of the romances you had in high school. And some of them, I'm sure, ended badly. That's a loss. And, you know, when we get older, we say, you know, it's nothing. Yeah, it's a lot for what the kids are going through. Not only that, they're facing an uncertain future. They know that. They're facing an uncertain future. It wasn't like when a lot of us grew up in Camelot. And things were cut and dry. Things were, looked, you know, pretty good. Used to be not too long ago, you went to college, you got a good job, you know, and you lived out the American dream. Now if you go to college and you get a degree, you can't get a job. That's a major loss. Our young people are dealing with things that we didn't have to wrestle with. However, we have to recognize that when they experience their losses, their disappointments, it's just as big as the ones that we experience. And we need to help them through that in a godly way, in a way that encourages them. I want to end our time with a video, and then Bill's going to come up and minister to special music.